Five, four, three, two, one. Julie's going to bring the word this morning, and I know that it's going to be good because Julie has a heart for the Lord, and she knows the word inside out. So, Father, I just ask that you bless her with every good and perfect gift that comes from you, that you give her wisdom, that you give her the right words to say, the right attitude to bring it in, and, Lord, just bless us to hear what's on your heart through Julie's mouth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, thank you, Mary. Good morning. That was a good start. Okay. I want to speak to us this morning about baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't think we've spoken about Holy Spirit in the past, but I want to bring something a little bit, this morning. We'll see where this goes. I'm not sure where this is going to go, actually. So, Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit just as he was baptized. Carries on in verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and suddenly the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and resting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That actually wells me up a bit. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, it's quite easy for me to get distracted here because I want to go off on another agenda there, but I'm going to try and keep it back. But it is important to say that it was when Jesus was tired and weary that's when he got tempted by the devil. That's when the attack came. And the devil did it very sneakily. He actually quoted verses from the scriptures saying, did God really say? For instance, the devil took Jesus to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple and then said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now, we've heard this so often recently. So often the devil trying to distort the word of God to fit his agenda. It's his way of getting us to question everything. If we question one thing, it's opening the door. We have to stick with what the word says. You see, he doesn't change. The devil doesn't change. There's no new tricks. He uses the same stuff over and over again because it's us who's new. He's been at this for thousands of years. He knows his stuff. So that's why we need to get into the Bible. But we have knowledge. We have knowledge of the Bible. That's what it's there for. That's why we have a pre-warning to be careful, and we're told in Deuteronomy and Revelation not to change anything in the Word. You see, the Word shows us everything we need in every circumstance. Jesus showed us exactly what to respond and how to respond to Satan. He replied, quoting scriptures too. So he replied in verse 12, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And what happened next? The devil finished all his tempting and left him for an opportune time. The enemy can never stand against the word of God. But if we change it to fit things, if we change even a comma or a full stop, if we change it, what are we standing on? What can we answer back? We have to stick with the word of God. It is so important. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee. The enemy cannot stand against the blood of the Lamb or the word of God. He can't. But anyway, back to my point. That was me sidetracking. I want us to notice that at Jesus' baptism, that he was baptized with Holy Spirit and power. Jesus was fully God, but he was fully flesh. He became man for us. John 1:14, if you're not sure about that one, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. It was when he was baptized with Holy Spirit that he was anointed with power to perform the miraculous signs and wonders of healing, raising the dead, provision, and of course, casting out demons. Acts 10:37 says, "You yourselves know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee with the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power." You see, with Holy Spirit comes power. And Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Notice all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. It's quite clear that the source and power of Jesus' ministry was Holy Spirit. And everything in there says all who were oppressed by the devil couldn't stand, doesn't stand a chance. Holy Spirit gives the power. He anoints with the power for us to do the works of the Lord. God the Father anointed Jesus the Son with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Trinity worked together as they always did and as they always do. And it's still Holy Spirit who anoints with power and authority. So jumping forwards a little bit, Jesus had already been crucified and then appeared to the disciples who were gathered together locked in a room. And this is what John 20 says. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He was breathing new life into the disciples. Just as God had once breathed life into man, Jesus was breathing new life with the Holy Spirit into his disciples. They were literally being born again, made new as he breathed on them. They inbreathed Holy Spirit. But there was more. That wasn't it. He later said to them to wait. In Luke 24, he says, "I'm going to send you what my Father had promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." You see, there's always more. You may think, well, I've had the Holy Spirit, I've kind of dried up a little bit, I don't know where to go with this. There's always more. We see that happen in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, I don't know where Angie is, she's not here, but she was saying the other day that little Athena, they were in a really, really hot place, then all of a sudden Athena felt this really strong wind come. Interesting, isn't it? Don't know what to say about that one for the moment, but I'm sharing that because we've just heard a 14-year-old saw the Lord Jesus, and we've got a little 6-year-old saying, "Mummy, what's that? What's that strong wind?" Yeah. Where are we? Suddenly the sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The in-breathed Holy Spirit had been for them, for their renewal, for new life. But receiving the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit to be poured out was for the benefit of everybody else. Does that make sense? When Jesus breathed on them and said, "I breathe on you the Holy Spirit," they breathed Holy Spirit in. That's new life. He's bringing new breath, new life into them. But later when he said, "Wait for the promise of the Father," and fire, tongues of fire came on them, that's when they got the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So there is more. There's always more. John 7:37 said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, has said, streams of living water will flow from within them. And that's what we're talking about. When we get that anointing of power from Holy Spirit, we've already got the authority. That's what Jesus has given us. But Holy Spirit gives us the power to enable us to do those things. And that's when the streams of living water will flow through us. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Yeah, it's very quiet here. Yeah, okay. The fire and power of Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples to pour through them. The beginning of that verse says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. That means anyone who believes and is thirsty, come back to the source and streams of living water will flow from within them too. Yeah? So when we become dry, when we become thirsty, when we want more, all we have to do is come back to the source, because there's always more. He wants to enable us. He wants to put the fire of God on you. He wants to put that anointing in us to reach the lost. We're already saved. That's the inbreathed Holy Spirit. But the power of the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit, is for everyone else. If we want that, we have to keep coming back to the source. Acts 10:44, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the message. You see, the fire of the Holy Spirit doesn't stop. Fire catches easily. Have you ever seen a forest fire? I've seen so many in Greece. They're so hard to stop. It's the same with Holy Spirit. When you are filled with that anointing and you get out there and you speak, that fire doesn't stop. You can't put it out. The devil cannot put it out. Nothing can stop the fire of God. When he says, that's it, we're off, guys, come on, let's go out there. Nothing can stop it. I said to you, when I went to that, can't think of his name, Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, when we went to that to get the coach, we were so on fire before we even got there. And we're just stopping at the bus stop and talking with someone who ended up on the bus and going up for an altar call. God wants us to spread that fire, yeah? And nothing can stop it. Jesus' disciples were anointed with authority and power. And there is a difference, by the way, between authority and power. You all have authority. When you became a new creation in Christ, you were given the authority that Christ has. The anointing of Holy Spirit gives you the power to enforce that authority. It's up to us to use it. Yeah? Jesus' disciples were anointed with authority and power. They were anointed to continue what Jesus taught them to do. And that hasn't changed. If it had, it would mean we would no longer see those signs and wonders and miracles. But we've already seen some of those in this church. We've seen them with provision. We've seen them with the warehouse for the Giving Hope. We've seen them with people being prayed for and being set free from addictions. We've seen it. So anyone who tries to say to you, no, that was just for the disciples. Really? Don't think so. We have proof, okay? We are all disciples of Christ. John 14 says, he who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. You can ask for anything in the name of Jesus that fits in with his purpose for us, and he will do it more than willingly. But how big is your faith? Do you have that tiny mustard seed of faith? We just have to believe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that what I ask, you're going to give, because I know it's your will. I know it's your will to bring freedom through me. I know it's your will for me to go and pray for the person in the checkout in front of me and say, actually, can I pray for you? You've got a walking stick. That's what a Christian, a person anointed by Christ and the Holy Spirit, is meant to do. The original Greek word, Christianos, it means follower of Jesus. It was derived from Christos, Christ, which means anointed one. So Christians literally means little anointed followers of Christ. And that started because the people saw those followers going out and doing exactly what Jesus had done. They were doing the same miracles, signs and wonders. They were preaching the word and people were just running to them and saying, we want more, we want to know more, we want to give our lives to Christ. So they said, oh, they're Christians, little anointed followers of Jesus, because they had the same anointing. That's what we were meant to do. That's what we are still meant to do. Preach the kingdom, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. John 17, Jesus prayed, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. I looked up the word, what it means, sanctified, and it says to be set apart for a holy purpose, to dedicate to God's service. We are set apart for God's holy purpose and service. Wow. The online definition is described as a process of spiritual growth and transformation that aligns believers with God's will and enables them to fulfill their mission in the world. Jesus paid a huge price, the ultimate price for the salvation of souls. He died in a most painful way, and he descended into hell to pay that price that had to be paid. He bought our souls and he saved us from hell. Don't let anybody tell you there's no hell. I've heard it myself. Doesn't exist. Yeah, it does. That's where he went. If there wasn't any, why would he choose to die such a horrific death? And why was he gone for 3 days? It wasn't to go up and have a cuppa with the Lord. There are many verses in the Bible that mention hell. One of them is Matthew 16:18. Jesus himself says, all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Hell exists. Don't be fooled. Now, thinking about that for a moment, how much would someone have to love someone to die like that, in agony, be tortured, be humiliated, and then go to hell in our place? Have you ever thought how much love that entails? Now, I know this isn't the best description, but if you think of an auction and an old watch, dusty, scratched, battered, but it has a name on it. Who puts the value on that dusty, old, scratched, watched watch? The auctioneer? He might say, yeah, it's worth £20. But in that room are two people who want it. One is a collector of that make. The other is a son who knows that watch belonged to the family. It was a family heirloom. It had always been in the family since it was made. It had belonged to his father. His dad had showed it to him many times when he was growing up with pride, but it was lost. So the son is willing to pay any price to get it back because his father loved that watch and he wants it back. And his father is no longer there. But his father wanted to pass that on to the son. So the ultimate price is only finally determined by how much someone wants to pay for it. God gave his only son for us, and Jesus paid that ultimate price on a cross in agony. He was tortured beforehand, he was beaten, he was mocked, and he went to hell for us. That is how much he was willing to pay for us. That is the love of God. He paid the ultimate price to get us back because we belong to God. He dusts us off, he cleans us up, and he breathes new life into us, and he gives us authority and power to be useful in the kingdom. Amen? Luke 10, Jesus told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers in his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Luke 9:1 says, Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Jesus said, we will see greater things than these. We will see greater things than we read about in the Bible. I can't even imagine greater things than those. I mean, you might have a better imagination than me, but I kind of think, what does that mean? What does that look like? But actually, sometimes I want to find out. There is a harvest of souls out there, and we have been given Holy Spirit to enable us to bring that harvest in. We have been baptized by Holy Spirit. We have the mark of Holy Spirit on us as a guarantee that we are saved, and we have been brought back into the Father's family. He already paid the price, but it's up to us to collect the harvest now. But we can't do it alone. We need Holy Spirit. We need his anointing and we need his power. Jesus already gave us the authority, but it's up to us to use it. It's up to us to enforce that power. I remind us again of John 7. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from him. Who wants more this morning? Who wants streams of living water to fill them and flow through them? I know I do. I want more. I haven't seen enough. I want to go out. I want to be, and I don't feel holy enough, even though I know that I'm clothed in white, in righteousness, in white robes in front of the Lord. I don't feel it. I don't feel righteous enough. But I want to go out there and I want to see people fall down in my shadow and say, I want Lord too. I want to know him too. Now we're going to spend a little time this morning just praying for more of the Holy Spirit. Because we need him, guys. We're here for God. We're here for the Holy Spirit. We're not here to listen to me. We're here because we need Holy Spirit. We're here because God says when we gather together, two or three, he's right here in our midst. We heard last week there was another angel here. I want to see them too. I remember saying, I don't want to see angels, Lord. I'm a bit scared. I'll probably be terrified if I see one. Now I want to see them. I'm getting a bit jealous. I want to see them. I know I felt them. I have felt them. I will say that. I have felt them. But I want to see them now. I want to see the power of God. I want to see that when we're in here and we leave this room, that lovely lady downstairs gets saved. I want to see people who are renting this building at the same time as us thinking, what's going on up there? I can feel something different, and coming up and joining us. But we have the authority to call them in. Can we play that song, that last song again, please? We have the authority to call them in. We have the authority to pray and proclaim and say, Lord, we just call in this neighborhood. All those guys who play football every Sunday morning, save them in Jesus' name. Lord, let them be calling out to Jesus and saying, where are you, Lord? We're here. We're coming. I'll go. Where do you want to send me? Amen. Lord, we just hand this over to you and we say, Lord, we love you. We worship you. Holy Spirit, we're here because we love you and we need more of you. We want a fresh anointing, a fresh baptism. Lord, we're coming back to the source and saying more, 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 more in Jesus' name. More, Lord, more. Father, we're coming back before you this morning. More, Lord, more in Jesus' name. If you want to be prayed for, come to the front. If you want to pray on your own, absolutely fine. But we're going to spend time waiting on the Lord.